Malcolm Ross of Orange Juice, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Hi everyone, it's Lily, the youth peer leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
This is Mitch McConnell. When I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature, I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where is that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Countryside Car Service, providing hourly car services, ground transportation to all major New York City area airports, house sitting, pet care, and home improvement services. Information about these services can be found at countrysidecarservice.com or by speaking to a representative at 518-567-5761.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of James Graylin of Denver, Colorado. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Good evening and welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month radio show here on WGXC. We talk about movies that we've been watching lately. We usually pick a theme for each episode, and this whole month of January, we've been just catching up on movies that came out in the previous year in 2024. Tonight is no different. We're going to be talking about our favorite movies that came out in 2024. But before we get into that, as always, we're going to tell you about what's playing in the local theaters in the WGXC region. By the way, it's WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
So true. Incredible work.
All right, I'll tell you about what's playing in the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Dogman, Mufasa, The Lion King, and A Complete Unknown. You can find out more by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's WindhamTheater.com.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. Oh, we have No Other Land, The Brutalist, Nickel Boys, and The Seed of the Sacred Fig. And if you're interested, let me move across the river real quick to Saugerties. At the Orpheum Theater, we have September 5th, Emilia Perez, Picasso, A Rebel in Paris, The Room Next Door, Nickel Boys, A Complete Unknown, Mulholland Drive, Flow, Presence, and Wake and Fright. And if you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes, you can find out more information at upstatefilms.org.
Next up, we're talking about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York. That's the 8-screen theater on Fairview Avenue. We have Between Border, Brave the Dark, One of Them Days, Wolfman, The Last Showgirl, A Complete Unknown, Mufasa the Lion King, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, Moana 2, Flight Risk, Companion, Dogman, The Brutalist, Green and Gold. You can find out more about showtimes and tickets at spotlighttheater.com and just make sure that you select the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited in Hudson. This weekend, we have Flo, Liza, A Truly Terrific, Absolutely True Story, All We Imagine as Light, Queer, and Death by Hanging. And if you want to know about any of those showtimes or what else is happening at TSL, because they always have a ton of stuff going on, you can find out more at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. Last but not least for me, I'm telling you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, New York, also on Fairview Avenue. Right now we have playing A Complete Unknown, Nickel Boys, Sing Sing, and Flo. They also have a lot of repertory screenings happening. So every Monday in February, they're playing a David Lynch movie.
Yes.
You should just go ahead and go to storyscreenpresents.com to check out more.
Amazing.
We're so lucky.
We're so lucky.
As I said, when we first got into the show, we're going to be talking about fresh movies in 2024, whether they came out in 2024 or they were fresh to us in 2024. Yep. That's what we're talking about tonight. And man, you know, when I just start thinking about it, I just get overwhelmed with how many good movies there are out there.
It's truly wild. Like, obviously, this is a weird year for movies, which we have talked about a little bit. But it does still feel like there's just a lot of great stuff out there.
I know.
And there's lots of great stuff that I just haven't seen yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives me just as much hope. Like I see, so when I try to catch up on movies from 2024, I see a lot of stuff that I don't like.
Yeah.
And then it just also gives me just as much hope. Will you, a tech aside, will you turn up my headphones a little bit?
I would love
to. Thank you so much.
How's that?
That's perfect. Thank you. That's for you listeners out there. That's just like a little behind the
peek behind the curtain.
How the sausage is made.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Yeah, really gross. And so tonight, there's obviously still so many movies that came out in the past year that we want to see that we haven't seen yet. Movies that are on Oscar nominees, and then also movies that I hear are great that I think I will actually love that. Yep. I still need to see. But tonight we're going to talk about some that we both recently saw.
We've talked about having a list of our what we maybe would call the best of 2024, but mm-hmm. what I personally would call my favorites of 2024.
That is the appropriate word, because
that's the classic film problem, is that it's like there's lots of movies, they're good, also do I like them?
They're people who have careers. Uh-huh. Say they're good, do I like them?
Yeah.
So for right now, we're going to jump right in, right, and talk about one that has been on a lot of top of 2024 lists from people with degrees, but also a top for us.
Yeah, it's us just little guys.
Just us little regular guys who don't have degrees. We do, but not in this. La Chimera.
La Chimera. I think a surprise contender for both of us for one of our fave movies of the year.
Exactly. I'd been curious about it. And I'd heard it was good. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. Yes, absolutely. One of the best.
God, it's so good.
Directed by Alice Rohrwacher. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing her name correctly.
Yeah.
It's a movie that's primarily in Italian, though our main character is the Englishman, as everybody calls him.
Yes.
And it's about a group of people in rural Italy who are tomb raiders.
Yes, 100% they're tomb raiders.
That is what they do. They find... So Josh O'Connor plays our lead, Arthur, who has a mystical talent of dowsing for Etruscan tombs.
Yes.
And when they find one, they all rob the graves and they sell them to a mysterious buyer who is then selling them to museums and things like that. I just watched this movie last week. Oh my God.
I loved it so much. It's so good.
Okay. So I've never seen any of any other Alice Rohrwacher.
Me neither. Movies. Yeah. This is my first of hers.
This movie is, it's, oh God.
It's really special.
It's really
special. It's a really special movie.
So it's really, really whimsical.
Yeah.
It almost made me, I, as a teenager, was a massive Wes Anderson fan.
Oh, same. Yeah.
And it almost made me feel like it has, I guess, a whimsy, but wasn't, like, obviously so utterly and completely bound by aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like Wes Anderson. But it has, like, it almost gave me a similar joy, mm-hmm. the what I got from those movies as a teenager. Like,
totally.
And it ties in so well. Like, them being tomb raiders for ancient Etruscan artifacts. Like, the way the story is told itself is told like a fable a little bit.
It has like a little line of magical realism running through it, which I know is a fave of yours.
It's a huge fave.
Where Arthur, Josh O'Connor, who is the Englishman, mm-hmm. as Amanda previously alluded to, he has this kind of innate ability to find where these tombs are, and he kind of passes out every time he finds one, which is, like, there's something really sweet about that.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's a kind of movie that is very thoughtful and very quiet. Like, there's kind of not a lot of plot. Like, it's really about him... integrate. He's in this community in Italy, who are grave robbers.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they do.
They're grave robbers.
They're tomb raiders. And it's about his relationship with everybody in that group, but also his relationship to artifacts because he's an archaeologist. So it's like, he has kind of a different connection to the objects that they find,
right? Like, his friends, for them, it is a means,
it's money,
of money, making money, because, like I said, they do live in a really rural place, so it is also very clear that it's a very small community. It's a very folk community.
Yeah,
there's an
absolutely.
Amazing scene of a folk festival that's happening.
So good. I looked it up because I was like, is this real?
Yeah, of course.
The answer
it is.
Yeah,
of course it is. And that's the stuff I love.
Yeah,
I love
so good.
Like, European folk festivals.
Yeah.
So it's a tiny town. There, people are, as we meet a lot of characters, people are scraping together whatever they can, or they're still living in, like formerly grand homes.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. There's an incredible, like, supporting performance by Isabella Rossellini, who is kind of like, she's not his patron, but
his ex-love. There's a recurring, character who's not present in the movie that is Arthur's ex, and she's his ex's mom.
Right, totally. She's the daughter of Isabella Rossellini, and so he, like, lives in this little property, like a true cabin, on the property of Isabella Rossellini's, like, grand home. And also, it takes place in the 80s, which I think is pretty crucial to the tone of the film.
Yeah,
it's so lovely. I think. Yeah. I think it was the last movie that I watched in 2024. I think I watched it on New Year's Eve. It was, like, one of those ones where I was like, I'm so glad that this is the last movie
That's
I watched this year.
And sorry, I wanted to bring
no,
it back
because
I interrupted you when we were talking about, like, you were saying how Arthur, like, they all are doing it for money. They're scraping it together. But Arthur is,
he's an
not only the dowsing magic, but he also has this other appreciation for these objects.
Right. He's connected to it in a different way. And it's just a really, really lovely movie. This is, Amanda and I agreed before we started the show that we would not talk about, like, the ins and outs of these movies.
Yeah, we're not going to say too much.
They're some of our faves. And I think they're also, for me, coming in, this is our, like, best of 2024 episode. We're going to give our lists. Don't worry. But, like, I think for me, I really wanted to focus, and I know this is true for you too.
Yeah.
I wanted to focus on movies that people maybe hadn't heard of as much, like ones that aren't getting Oscar recognition.
Exactly.
Like La Chimera, I heard of from, I don't know, like, somebody I followed on Twitter or something who was like, this is really good. And I've got a soft spot for Josh O'Connor. Big Challenger's head.
Okay. Yeah. So I know we were talking about not liking listening to film podcasts before this, but the one I was listening to before this, the woman's called him the man of the year.
Josh O'Connor, huge year 2024.
Yeah. Man of the year. Like,
I
mean,
love him.
So, all right. I, yes, to repeat what Jenny is saying, we are we're going to kind of skirt over some of these movies because we think, like, they're amazing.
They're worth watching. And I think a lot of movies are not. I'm so sorry. I just interrupted you.
No.
Like, a lot of movies are worth watching, even if you know how it ends. But I think having a little bit of mystery is part of, like, the pleasure of watching a movie.
Yeah.
And I want to impart that upon our listeners tonight.
Exactly. I mean, I found out about this movie because somehow, out of all of the utterly useless stuff that my Instagram advertises to me, it advertises really cool movies to me, including La Chimera and The Vortilock.
And The Vortilock. You have, like, an incredible algorithm. I don't know what's going just on movies, your Instagram.
Just for movies. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, Piglet in bed bathrobes.
I don't see why that's a problem.
It's not. It's great. Not. I just can't afford it, and that's why it's a problem.
Right.
But to just talk really quickly, to circle back to Josh O'Connor.
Let's circle back.
The movie opens with him. He's just gotten out of prison, and he's on a train, and he's talking to these other girls who are sharing the train car with him, and he says, "Oh, are you local? Because you look, your profiles look like some of the old Etruscan art." And it's just funny hearing him say that because his face is one that I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. When are you from?
What am I looking at? Yeah. Are your features changing as I'm looking at them? What's going on?
He has a really compelling face.
You're magnificent.
I love Josh O'Connor.
I love him.
He also, so I know him from Challengers, of course, as many people
now
do.
Now I do too.
He's also in an incredible.
We were watching La Chimera, was like, that guy looks like the guy from Challengers. And Chris was like,
great news.
It is the guy from Challengers.
He was also in a movie a couple years ago that I really love called God's Own Country. That's like kind of a, you know, big among the queer film heads, but not a lot of other people have seen it.
For the gays.
He plays like kind of a terrible person in it, but it's a really great, it's a like lovely little movie. I would recommend it, especially if you're into Josh O'Connor.
I mean, which we all are now. Yeah. We should. That's La Chimera.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was just going to say this is perfect. It's playing, if you're interested, on Hulu, if you have such a thing. Looks like maybe it's also on Disney Plus, but, you know, Google's not to be trusted these days.
I know, because now when I log into Hulu, it says, you're logging into Disney Plus.
That's probably what it is. It's probably Disney saying. I think they do too. God, they own everything. But anyway, it's on Hulu.
Remember when there was, like, more companies than just one?
It's really...
I don't want to get too into it.
So fun to live in this time. Just kidding.
Listen, all we have is stories.
All we have is stories. I was going to say at the beginning of the show, when we were talking about what's playing at other theaters, last night I almost texted you to be like, should we pivot to David Lynch? Even though I know, like, neither of us are prepared for such a thing.
We're not prepared, but we should say something.
Which, we love him. We're both sad.
We're both sad. It's so when he passed away, I was in Florida for a wedding and nobody, like, my external world in that day was all wedding to do. And then my texts and my social media were entirely David Lynch ex-boyfriends texting me, you know, mom, like, we're talking about David Lynch. And I just think that I don't want to cry.
I know. Literally, I'm like, I actually should have brought this up.
I know. I'm but so just sorry. Like, just thinking about him in the world right now and somebody who truly understood love as a force of the earth.
Yeah, dude. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do this. Okay. I'm also crying. Yeah.
It's really important to talk about because not many people understand it like that.
Yeah,
you know?
For real. A truly special, a titan of the industry who we are huge fans of and who we will carry with us.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a David Lynch episode next.
Probably. Yeah.
I was thinking about it because last night I was going to watch a movie and then I was like, I just want to watch Twin Peaks, actually. I don't want to watch a movie.
I mean, that changed my life.
Yeah, totally.
That changed my life.
Yeah.
I know we're like, I don't want to talk about it too much, but I watched another big movie of 2024. I saw the TV Glow. And so it led to a conversation
that
about.
That is a very Lynchy movie.
Well, and it led to a conversation with my partner and I about being a young person and falling in love with a TV show and feeling kinship with a TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's all I'll say about it. But then, like, he hadn't really had that experience at that age.
Yeah, totally.
But I very much did.
Oh, yeah, same.
And I didn't see Twin Peaks until I was in college, and I had already had the relationship that I had with the X-Files as a young teen. But, like, it was almost like Twin Peaks was the getting older, the growth.
Yeah, totally.
The genesis of that. Yeah. And, like truly... like made me feel less alone.
Yeah, same. Like literally same. That is, I mean, that's a big part of why I love that movie is like, it is obviously.
It's about a lot
not,
more.
Not to bring up, I saw the TV Glow, which earlier I was like, oh,
we're not going
to
talk.
I don't
want
to talk about it on
the
really
surface aspect of it. We're talking about a surface aspect.
I was like, let me bring it up. Actually, what if I make us both cry real quick? But like part of like, obviously I love that movie for many reasons. Not the least of which is the trans narrative, but also like as a child who is also like deeply connected to TV.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It hoits. Anyway, sorry to take us on a little tangent.
No,
I did not prepare
no
you for this.
No apologizing.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm literally, I come prepared every day that I open my eyes in the morning.
God damn.
To cry about love.
God, so true. We are so prepared to cry about love. That is like
literally
maybe our through line.
There's never any apologizing because not enough people are.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I just felt like I wanted to speak on it because... I know we've both been thinking about him a lot
and
watching a lot of David Lynch right now instead of like, I haven't caught up on a lot of 2024 movies. Cause I'm like, sorry, I'm watching Twin Peaks The Return.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
I'm busy.
I'm also really glad that you said something because this is our first show since he passed away.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to say something.
Yeah, totally.
And
he's in our wheelhouse.
I
usually
am who I am today because of David Lynch.
Yeah.
And,
truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful.
Truly. And I feel like the more that I'm watching movies this year, like trying to catch up on 2024 movies, I am seeing him everywhere, which is like, I think has always been true, but because he's really like close on the top of my mind, I'm noticing it everywhere where I'm like, what an influential guy. Like, I don't really want to talk about this movie too much because it didn't really make my top 10, but I just watched Queer, the Luca Guadagnino movie.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Queer.
Which I did. I really liked. I know I had heard a lot of negative reviews going into it, so I was feeling very like, okay, what's this going to be
like?
I've
heard one of each.
Yeah.
I only know two people who've seen it, and I've heard one of each.
Add me to the positive list. Yeah. I really liked it. I thought it was really interesting. Again, I don't want to talk about it too much because it's not on my top 10, but I found it really compelling. It's an adaptation of a Burroughs novella,
ooh,
which I think really unlocked it for me. Like,
yeah.
I think if I didn't know that, I'd be like, why is this movie so weird?
We got, you know what? We got a lot of, not necessarily adaptations, but interpretations this year.
Absolutely. But yeah, I didn't know until like the opening credits when it was like, you know, based on the novella by William S. Burroughs. I was like, oh, okay. That's like a total tonal change to me. Like I thought, I don't know what I thought, but I didn't expect that. And then as soon as I knew that that was the source material, it all made sense to me. And I was like, oh yeah, this is like, this movie is speaking to that William S. Burroughs as a guy.
Like,
like it's got a Naked Lunch vibe. Like,
what movie is he in that I saw not too long ago?
Daniel Craig or William S. Burroughs?
S. Burroughs.
Oh, dang. I don't know.
Anyways, whatever.
Anyway, it has so many, it kind of is more successful as like a series of images, and it has a lot of really Lynchian parts to it.
Yeah.
Which I was really nice to watch because it felt like he's here.
Yeah.
he's here.
I feel like that's kind of been a really beautiful thing about when these true icons have passed away in the last 5 years, like Prince, David Bowie, getting together with people.
I have terrible news for you. It's been 9 years.
Oh my God. No!
Bowie died. I'm so sorry. That was 2016.
No way.
Yes, bro. Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Well, anyways, anyway, my life hasn't changed that much.
It's so true.
But like,
we're the same.
Yeah, yeah. Getting together with people and like, and remembering them, but also doing that by looking at everything they've influenced
yeah,
since.
Totally.
You know, like,
yeah. And it is, it's such a powerful influence. Like
yeah,
we are like the film landscape has changed so much because of David Lynch. And it's like, it's a, it feels really special.
It does. I mean, all right. So movies
anyway,
from
yeah,
2024 that did not yeah, make my top 10, The Beast.
Oh yeah. I haven't seen it.
Also like, so also inspired by a Henry James
oh,
story.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's called The Beast in the Jungle is oh, the name of the story, but like it's, I'm not going to talk about it that much because
yeah,
also I didn't
the
make my top 10.
Like, I don't want to talk about it.
I think it's, I think it's interesting. I yeah, think it's worth watching. It asks a lot from the viewer,
right?
Just also in its runtime, but it has multiple segments. It starts Lea Seydoux and it has multiple segments that span time,
right?
But there's one whole section that is just like a complete like Lynch playbook.
It
almost in a way where I'm kind of like, this
okay,
is annoying.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you're not, you don't have the sincerity. So it's not, you're not pulling it off.
Well, it's like fun to watch because David Lynch is fun to watch,
right,
but like it's, yeah,
it's not him.
So,
it's not
yeah,
authentic.
It's just
yeah,
so by the playbook.
I gotta watch it. I know I've heard such mixed reviews of The Beast that I am really interested in it, but it is like, I haven't heard anybody be like, it's amazing. I've just heard like, it's pretty good or like, it's kind of bad.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we were saying earlier, this is a year of really divisive
yes,
movies.
Absolutely.
And not because they're saying anything
right,
that radical. It's just like most people, present company included, you and I, like most people with a lot of these movies have either been like really, really gung-ho about
right,
it or just like, oh
right,
yeah,
they either hit or they don't.
Yeah.
it's a funny year for it.
It really is. Can I tell you about one of my other
Please,
top five?
I wish you would.
All right. So also really last minute, like last week I watched a movie called Good One.
Yes. Tell me about
this
Good
year,
One.
It is a first feature. It's a first feature from this director named India Donaldson, and it takes place in the Catskills. It's filmed in the Gunks, but takes
Amazing,
place in the Catskills.
That always gets me.
and it is a, you know how we both love a small story that isn't like it. You can say so much and do very little.
Yes.
And I cannot imagine how difficult that is to write and to direct.
Yeah.
But when somebody does, like, I mean, I feel like that's one of the reasons we love Kelly Reichardt.
Yes.
Is because she's such a master at that.
God.
Like
the very small story.
Yeah. Like they're action wise, very little is happening, mm-hmm, but the actors are so good and they're so familiar with what they're supposed to be doing that they're just killing it.
Oh,
and this is one of those. It's just three people. It's about she's 17 years old. It's about a 17-year-old girl who's going on a backpacking trip with her father and her father's best friend,
mm-hmm,
for like the two men have been friends since before the kids were born.
Right.
It was initially supposed to be both her and her dad and then her dad's friend and his son. But we see at the beginning of the movie that the dad's friend is going through a divorce and his son is really mad at him and his son backs out of the backpacking trip. And all that it is we're watching them hike and converse. And it is, again, don't want to say too much, but Sam, our main character, the teenage daughter, she's already been through the divorce and remarrying, mm-hmm, of her parents. She is definitely very wise beyond her years, mm-hmm, and a very patient person.
Yeah.
We're basically following her as she's watching these two adult men just biff it.
Yeah.
yeah. just be like so
mess it up so
they're
bad.
They're just yeah. so annoying.
Yeah.
They're such totally. Ass wipes. And, like, totally. And like that's fine to say. yeah. And they're just like she's exuding such patience. And the movie does such an incredible job at expressing these intricate connections.
Yeah.
Father and daughter. Also this man who's the same age as her father mm-hmm. that she's known since she was a kid.
Right.
But now she's older. She's kind of like a young woman and he's like a messy single dude.
Yeah, totally.
Where you're kind of, you're very aware of that from the beginning and you're kind of like on edge about Ooh, that the whole yeah, time.
Yuck. Yeah.
It's just, and then it's just so many beautifully pastoral moments, like a lush forest.
Yeah.
It's, I cannot recommend it enough. I think it's a perfect movie.
I'm so stoked
movie.
To watch it. Yeah.
I truly
totally.
Think it's a perfect movie. And not just because I love Where We Live.
Right.
Like, I think yeah. it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't add more drama than there needs to be mm-hmm. to these situations that are right. very real and very recognizable to a lot of viewers, you know, like,
yeah, totally.
It doesn't make it more traumatic or more serious than it right. actually is.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh God. I can't wait to watch it. I feel like this is the episode where we really come together.
Yes.
Because the movie that I have to talk to you about sounds like very...
Is it Janet Planet?
No, it's not Janet Planet. it just sounds like tonally really similar. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like you and I have different tastes in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But there's also a huge overlap. And I think sometimes we forget that.
Like, I know.
I definitely do.
I do, too. Like, I do, too.
We actually do love the same
actually,
movies.
Actually, we love a sweet... Small story.
The other movie that I wanted to tell you about, I've been meaning to tell you about it because I'm like, I think Amanda's going to love this. It's a movie called Bird.
Oh.
It was directed by Andrea Arnold, who directed Fish Tank, who I think okay. maybe you saw, but I can't remember.
I haven't seen Fish Tank, but I know of
the concept. Yeah. So Andrea Arnold is a British director who her last feature, maybe she had one in between, but the last movie that I know of was called Cow, which was a documentary, which people oh. love. I have not seen it, but I hear it's amazing. But Bird was like her return to narrative fiction filmmaking, because she hasn't made a film. I think Cow was also a couple years ago, so it's been a second.
Oh. Yeah. I know. I saw the ad for this. Bird probably because my Instagram.
So good. I got the ad for it because I was
it's
briefly.
It's the one with Barry Keoghan.
Yes, with Barry Keoghan. I was like briefly a movie subscription. And every 3 months I pause it and then I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And finally I actually canceled it, but I have like another week left. So all right, I'm watching all the movies I haven't seen yet.
Yes.
So I watched Bird the other night. It's so good. It stars a girl, or it takes place in somewhere in England. It's unclear exactly where.
Northern Kent, it says.
There you go. Mm-hmm. The main character is played by an actress named Nakia Adams, who plays a young girl named Bailey, who's 12. Her dad is played by Barry Keoghan, mm-hmm. as previously mentioned. Briefly famous man from from Saltburn, if you'll recall.
Well, I can't believe you're... Is Briefly that what famous. He is? That all he is?
I mean, he might. I'm sure he'll be back. He is.
But
I
like,
love.
He kind of biffed it for a second.
I mean, famously, we love him from. I mean, I assume you also do from Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah.
That's what I love him from.
No, I love him so
He's
much.
Such a good
but he
actor.
Did like for a second there with the Wang swinging and
yeah,
the Sabrina Carpenter
Saltburn,
dating
with Sabrina Carpenter.
Just I'm like, listen, guy.
Oh my God, Barry, please.
Why did you ever divorce your dental hygienist God. Girlfriend? Or
I will
whatever.
Say, perfect casting for this role because he's basically playing like a deadbeat dad. Like he's however old he is, like 30.
Yeah,
and he's a parent to this girl Bailey, who's 12, and then her older brother, who I think is like implied to be 16, but we don't really know how old he is. So it's like clear, like, he was, like, a very young father.
Mm-hmm.
He is covered in tattoos. Like, he is, his name is Bug, and he's covered in bug tattoos, which is really fun. He has, like, a centipede tattoo that goes up onto his face.
Wow.
And they live in a squat in Kent, I guess.
I didn't know that.
It's, like, clearly in England somewhere. And he's, like, he's a little bit of a deadbeat dad. Like, he's clearly, like, trying to, like, do some money schemes. Like, he's not a drug dealer, but the main thing for him in this movie is that he has recently bought a toad that's supposed to secrete, like, hallucinogenic slime.
Nice,
and he's
nice,
trying
nice.
To get the toad to secrete the slime. He's, like, trying to figure out how to make it happen. But it's really a movie about Bailey, who is 12, who's, like, also, like, the protagonist in Good One, wise beyond her years. Like, she projects a lot older because she clearly has had to. She's very independent. So she lives with her father, but she also has a relationship with her mother, who also is very young and, like, and has, like, I think three other children who are also very, like, much younger than Bailey, and has a relationship with them. And, like, I don't know if any of you have seen Fish Tank, it's a really, like, incredibly, like, simple, sweet movie about basically being, like, really poor in England.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, not even working class. It's, like, truly, like, poverty level, like, people just kind of trying to survive, but, like, doing what they can to try to be creative in that world.
Yeah.
And so for Bailey, she likes to take videos on her phone and then she projects them onto her wall. And that's, like, what she does. That's kind of her way of, like, dealing with this, like, really chaotic, unstable life that she has. And one day she is really angry with her dad because he's about to get married to some girl that he's been dating for, like, 2 months. And she's like, I do not know who this is. I do not care. Like, get out of my face. And so she, like, kind of runs away from home briefly and, like, falls asleep in a field, a stunning field full
of
horses.
I mean,
it's
they have
so
those
beautiful.
In England.
It's, like, so beautiful.
Yeah.
And she wakes up the next morning in the field, and is, like, about to head home and sees this really weird guy who's just, like, also kind of wandering the field, played by Franz Rogowski, who is one of my favorite actors at this time. I was telling you about him the other day. He is the main character from Great Freedom.
That's right.
Which is one of my favorite movies from the last decade. And he's also...
You would like this guy.
I'm obsessed with him. He's so good.
I've such Jenny fodder right
I've
here.
Only seen him in Great Freedom and Passages, but he's also in Passages from last year, if you've seen that. He's an incredible presence on film. Like, he has, like, kind of a weird face when you look at him, but on film he is, like, captivating to me specifically. I don't know if that's true for other people, but, like, I think Great Freedom works largely because he's so compelling.
Yeah.
Which, tune in to our episode from 2 years ago when we talked about the best of whatever, 2023, when I was like, this is the best movie that I've seen this year. But so he shows up and kind of starts chatting with Bailey and is like, hey, have you heard of this building? Because he's trying to find it. And she's like, leave me alone, you're a freak. Like, I will scream and call the cops. Like, because he's really weird. He, like, shows up in a field. He's, like, he's kind of gender nonconforming. Like, he's wearing a skirt. He's, like, kind of bizarre. Like, he is, like, very friendly in this way that she clearly has not encountered because she's kind of lived this scrappy life. And she's like, what do you want
from
me?
Well, and that's always alarming. That
totally.
It's hard to trust, like, kindness.
And, like, an adult man also.
Yeah, an
and
adult
she's,
man.
Like, 12. And she's just like, what do you want from me? And he's like, nothing. Like, he's just weird.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the rest of the film follows her relationship with her parents, but also her, like, continuing to run into this guy.
Yeah.
But it has this really lovely kind of, it's not quite magical realism, but it has, like, a fable energy to it, which is such,
you know,
Amanda Catnip.
Yeah,
like, I was watching it being
really
like, Amanda's
is.
Gonna love this movie.
You know, I
it's
love that
so
stuff. I also, you yeah. know, I love movies that the intersection of fable and young people trying to deal with adult world stressors turning to fantasy.
Yes, and, like, her, like, totally trying, just, like, trying to understand what's happening in the world. And, like, she's so young, but she is forced to take on this position of, like, an adult, basically, because her parents are just so trapped by their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely. I put it on being like, okay, like I want to watch, I'm trying to use up my movie subscription. Let's see what happens. I'm trying to watch this Andrea Arnold movie. Like I really loved Fish Tank. Let's see. And I was so like locked in. Like it's so lovely. And it really does. It really takes a turn as soon as Franz Rogowski shows up. Like he is such a compelling character in her narrative. And it's so lovely. Like, I really don't want to say any more about it because
yeah,
it's so lovely, but I would strongly recommend it, especially if you're a person who's like into any kind of like coming of age, like any kind of like dark fable. It's like, yeah, I don't want to say too much because I feel like it's kind of a departure from, I mean, the only other movie of hers I've seen is Fish Tank.
And but I
like,
haven't seen it, so I'd be
coming. Which is
in.
Great, but it has a little bit of a departure from that in this way that I think is really compelling. Like it really surprised me. And I loved it. It like immediately jumped to the top, my top five. Like I was like, oh, Bert, it's so good.
Wait, is it only playing on Mubi?
That's a really good question. Let me find out. I'm sure.
Say no more. I'm in.
Let's see. Great news. I still have Mubi for like another week, so you can use my login.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Oh, tragically, watch online is not even one of the tabs that Google gives me. Let's see. Watch online. Oh, Amazon Prime. You can also see it on Amazon
there
Prime.
We
it looks
go.
Like maybe it's a rental, but that's okay. I would say it's worth your $4. That's I genuinely loved it. It's sub 2 hours. It's like, I found it to be really sweet. And like, I wasn't really in the mood to watch like an emotional coming of age story, but it like hooked me immediately.
Yeah.
I thought it was the way that Andrea Arnold films these communities is like so tender and yet so like, it feels very honest to me in this way. Like, I don't live in England. I don't know, but like, it feels so genuine in this way that I think is really beautiful. I would strongly recommend it. Also, if you haven't seen Fish Tank is great.
I know, I gotta
Fish say
that
like
too, because
an incredible movie.
I do. England does come out with some really good movies that center poor
people.
Folks.
Yeah, totally.
Like whether it be like poor rural or poor city.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, Attack the Block.
Attack the Block is so good, dude. Oh, also, just one more thing. There is a dog named Dave in the movie. And
Dave.
I just have to tell you about a dog named Dave. Because as soon as that showed up,
Dave.
I was like, oh, Amanda would love that.
You know how I am charmed by a dog with a regular
like,
guy
a regular,
name.
Like, human name.
I know.
So
like,
funny.
Oh, Stephanie, rest in peace. One of my favorite labs.
thinking of her always.
All right. So should we tell each other a little bit more about, like, our top movies
is
of 2024. As
to
I told you, I don't have like a clean 10.
That's okay. It's nothing wrong with that, baby.
So making this list is really funny because if I imagine it, like I'm trying to make a top 10 or top 15, some things that I don't think need to be there end up being in there just for volume, you know, like, and I didn't think they were bad. Like, for example, like The Beast. Where The Beast is getting a lot of attention for like good movies to regard from 2024.
Totally. Weird good movies. From
2024. Like it's made some best of lists and all that stuff. And as we've talked about tonight and before and many other times, it's an engaging film. Did I have fun? Could have had more fun.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like it's like that kind of thing. Am I going to put The Beast on my list or am I going to put The Beekeeper?
That's okay. Here's my strong take, which is that like, I think best of the year is kind of whack. I think it's like, all we can do is talk about our favorites. All we can talk about, all
and
we can
why.
Do is like,
it's about why.
Yes. And like what, like, I feel like for me, so many of the movies that I loved from this year were because I went to like an incredible theater experience.
Yes.
Like I had an amazing time watching
it. It's that context that matters. We said at the top of the show, we're doing this just as two guys. We don't have degrees in this.
We're just guys.
So all those people who are like, I know film because I've spent my life studying it and The Beast is in the top 10 because of that. I don't know, man.
It's none of my business.
I'm
going to
tell you that this La Chimera is in my top 10, as it is in both of ours, because it made me smile endlessly for its entire runtime.
Yes. And then I cried at the end.
Yeah. And then
I cried at the end.
I cried when they opened the tomb.
Yes. Oh, God.
Listen, we'll talk later.
We will. And we will talk later.
We will talk later. But is it also going to be the beekeeper because I also smiled for the entire runtime?
I do genuinely feel like I have a really hard time. Yeah, it's like, who knows what is the best movie? Like, it's so subjective. Obviously, no. Cinema is long. There's ways to talk about it. I don't care. I'm here to tell you what I really liked. And I also...
Yes, and that's why people come here.
Exactly.
Because you can find any number of podcasts by people.
Yes.
Who are very smart.
This is the best.
Who are going to tell you a lot of informative things about movies that are at the top of their craft. But we're here.
I'm here.
Just people like you, man.
To tell you that movies are art and therefore there is no best. There's only what moves you.
Yeah.
Get off my
exactly.
ass.
So Jenny, tell me what moved you.
I also, one more caveat. I didn't include a single documentary because I haven't watched any documentaries this year. And I know that there are a bunch that are... Gotcha. Really incredible, and I would really like to watch them.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of the really important ones.
Yeah, I want to watch some important ones. I am really excited to see some of the the ones that I hear are incredible.
Yeah.
I also am an idiot, so I don't know when a documentary is good. I just don't have that kind of language for
it. Okay, so that is almost like its own separate thing, yeah. Right? Because how do you judge it? There are documentaries that involve... some very undocumentary like artfulness,
right.
Like in the way that they're told.
Right. Totally.
You know, they're incredibly complicated.
Right.
It's
just as much an art form as narrative film. And I feel ill-equipped to rank or describe them in terms of their quality.
It almost feels like its own separate thing.
Yes.
It feels entirely like there should be an Oscars for the docs.
But also stoked to hear that maybe you have a doc on your list because that would make me feel
better
about
Yacht
my
Rock
ignorance.
Documentary.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
I mean, I want to see Dahomey and I want to see No Other Land.
I also really want to see No Other Land. I just found out the other night that Dahomey is directed by
the Atlantics guy,
Mati Diop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's a woman.
Oh yeah,
who directed the movie Atlantics, which I'm obsessed with, and I did not know.
I just learned an hour ago.
Yeah, literally, I looked it up 2 days ago, and I was like, "What?" And I haven't watched it yet because
I haven't either.
I got to devote the time to the
documentary. I have my documentary list.
Yeah, God. So anyway, that's my caveat is that I don't include a single documentary because I have not watched any this year.
That's the thing is,
and also I'm stupid.
But a greater caveat being that a lot of movies get made all the time, and there's still a lot of movies from 2024 that neither of us have seen.
Yeah.
So, as always, no matter what our theme is for future episodes, we usually end up talking about some things that we've seen lately.
Yeah.
So these things will get peppered in. We will eventually also do a Oscars episode.
Yeah.
So there's more catching up on 2024 to come.
That's what I'm hoping to do. Neither of us have seen The Brutalist. Neither of us have seen Nickel Boys, which just came to theaters up here in the last week. So they're still very new for us.
Mm.
So those are not included. Hopefully when we do our Oscars episode, that's when we'll cover those. But yeah, that was just that's my caveat. This is, as always, we're just two guys on the radio. And
we're just
talking about the movies that we like.
All right. Let me get that list.
Here's my list. No particular order except the top. Oh God. Except the top five are definitely all the top five. Okay. I saw the TV Glow. La Chimera. Dune 2.
Dunk 2.
Dunk 2. Challengers.
Yep.
Bird.
Yep.
Okay. Second half of the top 10. The Vortilock.
Yes.
Conclave.
Yes.
Oddity. Trap.
Yes!
It's Trap, baby. Love Lies Bleeding. Those are my top 10.
Incredible.
Tell
All
me
right.
yours, please.
So I have a top 9.
Yes.
I don't have a
That's
top
fine.
10.
10 is
if
an arbitrary
I
number.
If I had more time, if I was thinking more, there might be an obvious one, but these are, okay, so there's an easy
please.
Top 4.
Yeah.
Challengers.
Yep.
La Chimera.
Challengers
is a movie
good.
That's having a good time,
it's
and
so
I'm having a good time
good.
Watching it. It is so fun. I have talked to people who didn't love it because I think they were confused by its whole shtick and the pace. And I'm like, listen, just let go.
Just let
and
go.
Have a good time.
Have a good time.
Be the tennis ball.
God, just
babe.
Be it. It's the editing in that movie. Is so insane. It's so good.
Just about people who are freaks. That kind of freak.
I didn't know you went so hard for Challengers. I don't think we ever talked about it.
No.
I'm so glad to hear
it's
this.
So... I again, like a movie about people, like people who are that kind of competitive and athletic. Like
they can only be with each other.
It is a kind of kink, yes. And it's a freak show,
it's
and I love it.
Oh, good. Okay, yes, please, please continue. I'm so sorry.
No. Listen, it's fine. Challengers, La Chimera, good one.
Yes,
Thelma.
Yes,
the grandma movie.
Yes,
because you know I love a sweet tale.
It's so
and I love
sweet.
A tale about aging, and I will never not think about sweet Richard Roundtree, Shaft, rest in peace, saying in like the like sad. Pinnacle of the movie being like, we're a liability to those who love us.
Oh my God.
Because we're getting old and we can't keep trying to be independent. It's, and it's
so it's good. Thelma's
inspired
so good.
By Mission Impossible.
Yes.
I also, the thing that I really think about every day is this movie. Okay. So this movie is a sweet comedy, but also has a lot of heart and it's yes. based on the director and writer's real grandmother.
Yeah.
And the final scene, it's there's a very close relationship with the grandson and the grandmother. And the final scene, he's driving her around and she's looking out the window.
I know. I'm
going
to cry.
I know. She's looking at the trees and she says, look at those gnarled roots. What spirit?
It's and then, so love. Thelma's so good.
It's so good. It's so good. And, you know, there's like, yeah, I mean, kind of thinking again about David Lynch and like the importance of love and like,
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with like that kind of exuberance.
Yeah.
There's a place for that kind of exuberance in like highly regarded film,
yes.
you know?
Absolutely.
Thelma's great.
Thelma is great. Thelma's so good.
It's a beautiful movie.
Ugh.
Yeah. And like, then the credits scene of that actual footage of the grandma saying those exact words.
Oh my God.
It's so
it kills
good.
Me. It's so good.
Oh. All right. So, and then my last five are kind of like space fillers, yeah. but also Oddity is in there.
Yes, dude. Oddity is so good.
The Yacht Rock Doc.
Yes, bro.
These are kind of less serious, but I did think Dune 2 was really good. So that's also in there. Also the First Omen I thought
yes.
was a, really pulled some good weight.
Absolutely.
For a horror movie.
Big fan of the First Omen. We're both First Omen heads.
Yeah. It doesn't yeah. need to be in my top 10, but I just, these are like the stragglers.
Yeah,
that,
totally.
You know, Oddity is definitely, I think, the best horror
yeah.
of 2024.
I agree strongly.
And the Beekeeper.
The Beekeeper. Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies.
So really quick, as a little treat at the end of the show,
yes.
do you want to talk about, you want to run through some really quick listicles of favorite movies that are new watches to us.
Yes, that were not 2024 releases.
Not 2024 releases.
I would be so glad to tell you. I have 10.
Watches, old movies.
I have 10. I'd be so glad to tell you.
I also have 10.
Mine are not ranked.
Mine aren't either.
They're kind of just, it is what it is. Number one is Michael Clayton. And I won't.
My God. I can't believe I forgot to add that.
I will broker no arguments. Yeah. Why don't you have Michael Clayton on your list?
Because
I'm upset.
Literally. I just started using Letterboxd like a week ago. Michael, oh my God.
Best movie of 2020.
When we.
Everybody else would decide.
Jenny and I watched it on the plane because, you know, somehow when you're on the plane, sometimes you just want to watch a litigation drama.
Yes. A drama about paperwork. Michael Clayton, famously a movie that we came in here to talk about thinking that we would talk about other movies.
And
then we
talked about it for the entire hour.
The entire hour talking about it.
Because Michael Clayton is so, you know what? I'm going to go home and watch it tonight.
Bro, it's so good.
It's so good. Oh my God. Okay. Let me hear the
yes,
other one.
Okay. So my others, okay. Michael Clayton, just get it out of the way. It's so important.
I know. I'm like hyperventilating, but it's fine.
Here's some other movies I watched for the first time this year. Eyes Wide Shut. Dude.
Fun.
It's
okay.
So good.
I've never seen the whole thing. No spoilies.
And no spoilies. It's incredible. I'll say no more. I'll just say I watched it close to Christmas because it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Just so you know. I watched it kind of, we were going to do a Christmas movie episode and it didn't end up happening because of traveling and
yeah.
such and such. But I was planning on talking about it for that. It's incredible. It's one of, you know, this is so like silly to say of Kubrick, but like I watched it with my partner and there would just be scenes where I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is the best shot movie I've ever seen.
No, it is wild.
And it's like a lesser Kubrick.
Yeah. Like, no, that's like so the crazy thing about the true masters where you're like, yes, my it God sounds silly to say, but you're like, oh, like this is why it's they
incredible
say that about you.
Incredible. It's like, it's so good. It's a strong recommendation. If you have not seen Eyes Wide Shut, like I had not. Here are the other ones on my list. It Happened One Night. I think a movie I also talked about on the show.
Yeah.
It's a rom-com from the 30s. Yeah. Very good. The Vanishing. We did spend quite a bit at Spoorloos, to those who know.
Yep.
Here's one that's maybe controversial. Tenet. I watched Tenet this year.
Okay. Still haven't seen it.
I loved it. I really, I'm ready to go hard for Tenet. Okay. I think it's so good.
Okay.
I cried at the end. Let me tell you that.
Wow.
Okay. True Stories. Another movie I did talk about on the show, so but special. When Amanda Was Away. The Green Ray. Most of these are movies I talked about on the show.
I know, but that's why we're just prattling it off like on the list in the
so
end.
Good. The Green Ray. The Third Man.
Yeah.
Movie that on Amanda my list and I saw too together. All That Heaven Allows. Mm. One of the last movies I watched of the year also. It's a Douglas Sirk movie from the 50s that is, I had heard, was visually stunning, but I wasn't expecting it. He's a guy who, I'm trying to remember who it, like Todd Field or somebody modern is like kind of cribbing his style on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most visually beautiful movies I've ever seen. And it is a romance. So that gets me no problem. Last on the list, number 10, Broadcast News. Just a great,
another one that I've never
rom-com is not quite right. It's more of a drama. Loved it. I'm obviously a romance head. Those are my top 10 new watches of the year.
I also, yeah, I've never seen that. All right.
Tell me yours.
All right. So Michael Clayton, yes, The Vanishing.
Please.
Yes.
Also
The Third Man.
Yes.
Finally saw Chinatown
for the first time ever. I've still never seen Chinatown.
Another, like, you know, obviously a very bad man, but Roman Polanski is an incredible director.
Tragically, he's so good at making movies.
This is on my list, even though it's technically a rewatch, but I saw it when it came out and I was too young to kind of like get locked in. But while I was sick in Florida a couple weeks ago, I rewatched The Ghost Rider.
Oh, interesting.
I've never seen it. Also a lesser Polanski.
Yeah.
It's a Polanski movie. There are far better Polanski movies,
totally,
but it's just so entertaining. And this was a big year for like catching up on political thrillers
for me.
And it's filmed in Germany because you can't come to the US for obvious reasons, but it's set on Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, interesting.
And you know, as a person who's recently obsessed with Ted Kennedy car crash conspiracies, it was great for that.
Chap acquitted.
So other political thrillers, we have Blowout and The Conversation.
Bro.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen
like
The Conversation. Blowout,
a great
so
year.
Good.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you love Blowout, you're going to love The Conversation.
Oh, God, I got to watch it.
So we also have, when I was in Maine watching Maine movies, Dolores Claiborne. Said in a bad Maine accent. So it's another movie based off of a Stephen King book, but it's not like a Stephen King freak show. It's kind of just a
Stand by Me, if you will.
Yeah. It's, starring Kathy Bates and Jennifer Jason Leigh. It has a lot of like kind of annoying, like I find Stephen King kind of like, ugh, like a little, he's a little like his writing is kind of like sticky and annoying.
It is sticky.
And it has a little bit of that. Like some of her lines, you're like, that's straight from the book. I know it's annoying. But, it's Kathy Bates is so stunningly beautiful. And she was, of course, like at the peak of her career in a time where like anybody who wasn't super slender was not considered beautiful. But like Kathy Bates is so stunning, and especially in this movie. And it's extremely entertaining. It's a weirdo of a movie.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Interesting. Great. Denis Villeneuve's Sicario is another one, which I had never seen and is so fun.
That's what I hear.
So entertaining.
I gotta watch it.
It's a slick border U.S.-Mexico border drama. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then to round it all out, The Handmaiden.
Oh, God. I forgot you hadn't seen The Handmaiden until this year. Oh, you're so lucky.
I mean, let's not forget that I also got to see...
Decision to Leave?
Well, yeah, but also Call Me by Your Name for the first time this year.
Oh, my God. And that didn't make your list?
I forgot because I'm bad at cataloging.
Incredible. Like, The Handmaiden, my favorite movie from, I think it's 2016.
That's so good.
Also, I think actually the same year as Call Me By Your Name, maybe even, in a crazy twist.
No,
of
I think you're right.
Two incredible movies.
Listen, times are rough, but we have a lot of good stories to look backward to and to look forward to.
We're so lucky. They do keep making movies, thank God, because we need them. We need them so badly.
So badly.
This has been Dim the Lights.
With Jenny and Amanda. Thank